in every human endeavor, in every walk of life, there are those who get the publicity, those who get the kudos, those who get all the attention. And in the days of the infant earliest church, rightfully so, the apostles, Peter and John, get most of the attention. They are the stars. During that first high time, people are flocking to the early church. And the apostles realize that they need help in ministry. They can't do it all by themselves. So they ordain 7 deacons. And in my opinion, Stephen gets most of the attention as well. He should. Stephen should get all the attention. However, there are others. Let's pick up the story with Acts 6. Now, in those days, the disciples were increasing in number, and the Hellenists complained, that is, the Greeks were complaining against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12, the apostles, called together the whole community of disciples and said, it's not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 people of good standing, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we for our part devote ourselves to prayer and serving the word. What they had said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And they had these men stand before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them, and the word of God continued to spread, and the number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient as well. So we have these 7 people of good standing and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And because we don't know a whole lot about them, it doesn't mean that we can't learn a whole lot from them. Today we are going to focus on Philip. This is not Philip the apostle whom we met in passing in the Gospels. This is Philip the deacon, who will later be dubbed Philip the evangelist. He is one of the 7 deacons. This is a Greek name, so we can pretty much guess that he was a descendant. He was a Greek descendant who believed in God, Yahweh, first, and then came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son. But he's not of Jewish ancestry. He's of Greek ancestry. We also know that he's a wise person filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's a person of strong faith. And here in chapter 6, we also know that Philip doesn't mind doing the actual grunt work of ministry. He has a heart for serving others. He's willing to work behind the scenes, serving the Lord and the people of God by waiting tables, which the disciples are disdaining. But he says, yeah, I can wait tables. I can make sure that the Greeks, who are my people, my culture, I can make sure they get the food, and I can make sure that the Jewish widows, who aren't really my relatives, but whom I love because they're part of the church, I can make sure that they get what they need as well. And Philip is able to take care of those in his immediate neighborhood. Now, all of us who move chairs, make coffee, butter bread, move tables around, put up tents for Camp Covenant, take down tents for Camp Covenant, do everything that we've done for Bible school this week, everything we do for youth, I mean, the physical act of work. Oh, Philip right here in chapter 6 is our patron saint. Hooray for Philip. He shows us that supporting those who are about like us and like us in our own home is important. This is an important place, an important thing to do. But now we're going to move to chapter 8. We're called and moved by the Holy Spirit. Philip becomes the patron saint for different ones of us. And here in chapter 8, he begins to prepare the ground, to plow the ground for the upcoming ministries of both Peter and Paul. So we go to chapter 8, verses 4 through 13. Now those who were scattered went from place to place, proclaiming the word. Peter went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds were, in one accord, listened eagerly to what was said by Philip, hearing and seeing the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out in loud shrieks, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were cured. So there was great joy in that city. Now there was a certain man named Simon who previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he was someone great. All of them, from the least to the greatest, listened to him eagerly, saying, "This man is the power of God. We're going to call him great." And they listened eagerly to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, who was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. After being baptized, he constantly stayed with Philip and was amazed when he saw the signs and great miracles that took place. So in chapter 6, the church is in its greatest place. It's in its first peak time. People are flocking by the hundreds, if not thousands, to the church. Then suddenly the persecution of Peter, the persecution and killing of Stephen, and the church is scattered. The church in Jerusalem that was so strong, going so great, now has to come up with a new plan, don't they? And they are scattered, and they go from place to place. And Philip follows the calling of the Holy Spirit and goes to Samaria. And here in chapter 8, Philip is identified as a proclaimer of the Messiah, a doer of signs, including exorcisms, a preacher, a healer of the lame, a bringer of great joy. In the whole of the Bible, only four people are identified as proclaimer of the good news. First, Jesus. Then later, Peter and Paul. And then the fourth is Philip. That's not bad company to be in. He preached and lives out the same message as Jesus. The kingdom of God is at hand. Believe in the good news. In chapter 8, Philip lives out the all-inclusive message of Jesus. Jesus loves everyone. Jesus is here for everyone. It's not something just to gloss over that when it says Philip baptized both men and women. No bias there. No bias based on sexuality. No bias there based on a man being a man or a woman. In Samaria, he's ministering to those of Jewish ancestry. There's something like him, but they don't kind of worship right. According to the righteous, they don't do it right. You know, they're different than us, they're unclean. They're the black sheep of the Hebrew family. They believe in Yahweh, but they just don't believe right. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And they don't believe in Jesus at this point. They haven't heard it. They haven't heard of Jesus. And they really don't care if they do or not. But here comes Philip. He proclaims the good news. He preaches. He does signs. He includes everyone. And he accepts Simon the magician. Philip accepts those who are not like him. By word and deed, he shows those who are even considered sinners in his culture the power of the name and the all-inclusive love of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit's not done with him. Let's move on to verse 26 of chapter 8. Then the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Gaza." And this is a wilderness road, so he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace Queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He said, "How do you understand what you're reading?" And the man replied, "How can I unless somebody guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before the shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else?" Now I'm going to insert editorially that at this point, Philip just grinned for a second. Then Philip began to speak. And starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What's to prevent me from being baptized?" So he commanded the chariot to stop. And both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water. And Philip was baptized. And Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and he was passing through the region. He proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Philip willingly accepts a new ministry now. Bible study teacher, Bible study leader. He's going to proclaim the good news through Bible study. Philip follows the plan of the Holy Spirit. That's an important point at this point in the story. Nobody wants to go down to Gaza. It's a wilderness. It's a terrible place to be. But the Holy Spirit says, go, and he goes. And when he goes into a one-on-one relationship with a person who's totally not like him, who's totally different. He is a dark-skinned African who, unlike the widows in Jerusalem, this guy's plenty rich, and he's powerful. And he's been, as a eunuch, he's been castrated, and because of that, he's bloated. And he's considered a deformed freak by most of the Middle Eastern people. Yet Philip jumps in and sits down next to him in the chariot. Philip is now not ministering in his neighborhood, not ministering to people who are kind of like him. Philip is now an African missionary. And he sees that this man is hungry for the word. He's hungry to learn. So now Philip takes on this new ministry by the Holy Spirit. He's a teacher and guide. And he does a Bible study. And in this Bible study, we learn who Jesus is. And Jesus is a revolutionary new thing. Says the Messiah. This is from Isaiah 52 and 53, the suffering servant passages. The Messiah is not some great military and political leader who's going to come charging down and bring us political greatness. But the Messiah is the suffering servant, the sinless who takes on total deprivation, our deprivation upon himself, on his shoulders, utter and deep suffering. And because of this, we have atonement, we have salvation, we have won victory. And this brings joy and great rejoicing to the Ethiopian. As soon as he sees water at the oasis, he says, "Wait, stop! What's to prevent me from being baptized?" And Philip baptizes. He becomes the first African person, the first non-Middle Eastern person to be baptized and become a believer. Philip plows the ground now for Paul, his later ministry taking the good news of salvation to all the people of the world. In Acts 40, the Spirit immediately sends Philip back up the coast to Israel it's also known as Assad. We're going to call it Assad, the town of Assad. And so we go from Gaza, and the Spirit shoots him all the way up to near Tel Aviv, now modern-day Tel Aviv, and he's in Assad. This was originally a Philistine town. Later, Augustus Caesar's Roman legions take it over, and Caesar then gifts the town to Salome, the niece of King Herod. Yes, and it's that Salome from the story of John the Baptizer. So this is not a good place. This is not a place for a good Christian to be. These are people of different races, different tongues, different people. They're mostly pagans. And the few Jewish believers who are there have intermarried, so they too are unclean. This is a harbor town. This is the Barbary Coast. These are rough and tumble scallywags. These are not good people by Christian standards. There, Philip proclaims the good news. He proclaims the good news. And Acts 8:40 tells us, then he goes from there, he moves up to Joppa and to Lydia and to Caesarea. This chapter 8 ministry of Philip is Christ-like. Jesus takes us where we are. Philip took the people where they were. He accepted who they were. He wanted them to be better, obviously, but he wanted them first to hear the good news. He wasn't waiting for them to be perfect so they can become good Christians. He took them where they were and proclaimed the good news with word and deed. It doesn't say how here, but we can infer because we've seen him do it. He's done it through service. He's done it through Bible study. He's done it through preaching. He's done it through teaching. He's done it through just being who he is. He treats everyone the same. There's no racial bias. There's no prejudice of sexism. There's no socioeconomic bias. We've seen him minister with the poorest and most disenfranchised to the richest and everyone in between. It's also really interesting to note that we're talking about Joppa and Lydia and Caesarea. Peter will follow him to all those cities. Philip is first and Peter will follow. So this great supporting player in the ministry who takes a quick star turn gives up the stardom and gives it over to Peter. And he has plowed. Peter has planted. Others will come and water, and God gives the growth. And so this is the last we hear about Philip until one last quick mention in chapter 21. Here in chapter 21, Luke, the narrator, becomes Luke telling the story of us. So he jumps from narrator to first person plural. When we, Luke and Paul and the ministry group, had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived in Ptolemais, and we greeted the believers and stayed with them for one day. The next day, we left and came to Caesarea, and we went into the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven, and stayed with him. He had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. While we were staying there for several days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. So now we're in Caesarea. Caesarea is also a mixed city of people. It's a brand new city. It's only been incorporated since about 70 BC. Mixed races. It was first the headquarters of King Herod. Yes, that King Herod of Jesus' infancy narratives. Then the Roman legions came in and they made it their northern headquarters. This is also a Barbary Coast city. And here, Philip is identified as Philip the Evangelist. Evangelium, evangelism. That's one of those scary, bad words in church life, isn't it? Oh, I don't want to be an evangelist. But if we cut it back to its original meaning, let's go to the original meaning. Evangelism is proclaimer of the good news. Literally, that's what it means. Let's strip away everything else we have brought to this word through the centuries. And just look and see it. Philip, one who evangelizes, one who proclaims the good news with his words, with his actions, with who he is. Philip is given the name evangelist because he proclaims the good news with his life. not because he started a great evangelism program that I get on my computer 3 times a week, my church computer. Pastor, you can start this great evangelism program. He doesn't have an evangelism committee behind him. He simply lives out the good news. And here in Caesarea, we see another way he lives out the good news. At home. He's at home sharing who Jesus is. And so now he's the dad of 4 daughters who have the gift of prophecy. They are people who speak with God and for God. Acts 21 tells us he evangelized, he proclaimed the good news also in the most simplest way. He showed hospitality to Luke and to Paul and the rest of them. We proclaim Jesus in the simplest things we do. Hospitality, welcoming. Philip shows us that it is as important to proclaim the good news at home, to be the same people we are at home, is to proclaim the good news when we're out there. Did you all hear that? I just heard my ministry partner and wife, Kim, say to me, okay, Philip's interesting with eunuchs and apostles and disciples and deacons and all that. That's interesting, but so what? Kim and I say that to each other all the time when we're writing sermons. So what? So what's the so what for me today? What's the so what of the sermon? Thank you, Kim. That's a great question. Philip's the evangelist's message, the so what for me today, is follow the Holy Spirit. Be open to following the Holy Spirit. My plans aren't always God's plans. I try to make them God's plans, but that doesn't always work either. We follow the Holy Spirit where the Spirit would have us go. We go down the road that may not be our road. And we learn that from Philip that that's how we do this thing. And that in different times and different seasons, we're called by the Holy Spirit to be different and to do different things. Following the Holy Spirit, we can do that at home in our neighborhoods with the poor, with people who may look like us and pretty much look and act like us. Ministry for some saints, following the Holy Spirit for some saints is setting up dinners right here in our church. For others, following the Holy Spirit is Acts 8 ministry, running in the direction of the Spirit, ministering in new, somewhat familiar place like Samaria. Yeah, I kind of know what's going on around here. I can do this. Ministering to people who maybe don't want to hear it. But you keep plugging away. Then later in 8, truly taking himself and doing something totally different. Going to a totally different people. I mean, literally, almost literally, Philip goes to the good and the bad and the ugly and prepares the ground, plows the ground so that others may come and help them hear and God can give the growth. In chapter 21, he's the same person at home as he is at church, leading his family to faith, helping them know Jesus Christ, and then being hospitable, just being kind about it. Just being kind about it brings people to proclaims the good news. And he's always preparing the ground, always plowing the ground. Peter's going to come along later. Paul's going to come along later. They'll plant. Apollos will water. God will give the growth. My lesson from Philip the evangelist is to tell the good news whenever we find ourselves, as Philip did, and whenever we find ourselves where the Spirit would have us be. And evangelize no matter where we are. And that's not scary. That's not standing up there knocking at somebody's door. Hey, have you ever heard of Jesus Christ? That's showing people Jesus Christ. That's evangelism, proclaiming the good news with the gifts and talents and promptings that God has given each one of you. Philip lived out our job, our calling that comes with that great charge that we have in the Scriptures. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.